Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. Each of the four Gospels makes reference to the preaching of John the Baptist in some fashion. Mark, as is characteristic of his Gospel, is the briefest, devoting only 8 verses to John's ministry. Luke gives the longest record, some 20 verses, while Matthew uses 17 verses and John uses 18 verses to describe the work of the harbinger of the Messiah. Matthew, Mark, and Luke each record the words of John when he revealed that one was coming after him whose sandals he was unworthy to untie. They each record that John understood that he was the harbinger, the one preceding and announcing the imminent arrival of the Messiah, and not the Messiah himself. John, whose gospel takes a different approach than the others, adds the fact that John the Baptist directed his disciples to Jesus. In John chapter 1, verses 29 through 34, as John saw Jesus approaching, he proclaimed that Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and that he was indeed the Son of God. All of this taken together strongly indicates that John the Baptist understood who Jesus was. He knew that Jesus was the Messiah, the one for whom he had been preparing the people as he preached to them and as he baptized them. There seems to be no uncertainty in John's mind as to who Jesus was. Yet, some few months after the Lord began his public ministry, John sent some of his disciples to ask Jesus a very important question. For a few moments today, we will consider John's question and why he asked it. We will also reflect on how Jesus answered this question. Then we will seek an answer to how this question may apply to us today. We're going to begin our study by reading Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 6, from the English Standard Version. The scripture says, "Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?' And Jesus answered them, 'Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me.'" Neither Mark nor John include this incident in their respective gospel accounts. In Luke's record of it, he adds 2 pieces of information that help round out our understanding of this event. In Luke chapter 7, verse 19, he tells us that John sent 2 of his disciples to Jesus to ask his question. Then in verse 21, Luke tells us that at the very time John's disciples came with his question, the Lord was actually healing people and casting out demons. This adds weight to the Lord's answer that he sent to John. Now, as we think about the words of this text, we may wonder why this incident occurred. It is clear from each of the gospel accounts of John's preaching that he knew that he was not the Messiah. In fact, he was very adamant to all who asked that he was not the Messiah. Then in John's gospel, there is the record of him identifying Jesus as the Son of God. In John chapter 1, verses 29 through 34, the scripture says, "The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. John testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God.'" Now, what this passage demonstrates is that John knew who the Messiah was. He had been told by God how to recognize the Messiah, and he had seen those things happen when he baptized Jesus. Both Matthew's and Luke's records of the Lord's baptism bear this out. This, added to the miraculous works that Jesus was doing, should have removed any doubt that Jesus was indeed the one for whom they had been waiting. Commentators offer several possibilities as to why John asked if Jesus was the one who was to come. Some suggest that perhaps John was disappointed that Jesus had not yet brought about the overthrow of the Romans and the establishment of the Messianic kingdom that they had all expected. Those who take this view also feel that perhaps John was trying to prod Jesus along in order to accomplish these things. Others wonder if John, who was then languishing in prison, was beginning to have doubts about if Jesus were truly the Messiah. His question and the Lord's answer would put his mind at rest and reassure him that he had been correct in identifying Jesus as the Messiah. Well, neither of these explanations seem particularly satisfying. It is difficult to imagine one so fearless as John having doubts about the Messiah whom he had baptized. God had told him how to recognize the coming one, and he had seen those signs. I'm convinced John had no doubts about who Jesus was. As for not overthrowing the Romans and not establishing the Messianic kingdom, there is no indication that John ever had such an expectation. This was a common hope of first century Jews, certainly, but as a prophet of God, John would hardly have fallen in step with such a distorted view of the Messiah. A third possibility, and one that seems to make better sense than the others, is that John sent his disciples to ask this question for their benefit. Some of John's disciples, like Andrew and John, had immediately begun to follow Jesus when John pointed them to him. Others, even several months later, had still not turned to Jesus. It is possible that John knew he would never get out of Herod's prison. As a result, he took steps to once again point his disciples to Jesus. We cannot say with absolute certainty that this is the case, but this seems more reasonable than the other possible explanations. While the answer to why John asked his question may not be clearly revealed, the answer to his question is crystal clear in the text. Jesus could have simply answered John's disciples with a yes or a no, and that likely would have satisfied them. Instead, the Lord gave them an answer that required them to reflect upon what they had seen him do and heard him say, and to compare that with what they knew from the Scriptures. Notice again that he told them in verse 4, "Go and report to John what you hear and see." Then, as Jesus recounted all the things he had been doing, some of which had happened right before their very eyes that day, he named works that Isaiah the prophet had foretold would accompany the Messiah. If they knew the Scriptures, and presumably they did, the things they saw and the things they heard from Jesus would answer any lingering doubt that anyone might have as to who Jesus was. His concluding exhortation underscored this truth and encouraged them to not follow the example of the Jewish leaders who took offense at his ministry and opposed him. This is an interesting event in the Lord's life, but we may wonder what this has to do with us. Well, there is, of course, the obvious lesson that seeing the proof in Scripture of who the Lord is, we also must not take offense at him. We must believe in him because he is the one who was to come and who will come again for judgment. We must set aside all man-made misconceptions and false ideas of who Jesus is and what he requires and obey the simple gospel that the apostles preached at his direction. A second way to look at this event is to notice how John's question fits into the lives of the ones the Lord calls into his service. Two examples from the New Testament help us to see this. First, consider the example of a young woman named Mary. In Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, the Scripture tells us that she was engaged to a man named Joseph and was still a virgin. An angel appeared to her and revealed that she had been chosen by God to be the mother of the Son of God. In a sense, the angel was asking her, "Are you the one whom God may use for this purpose?" Her answer in verse 38 demonstrates that she was. She said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." Obviously, God did not put out a casting call for a woman to play the role of the mother of the Lord. He had seen in Mary's life and attitudes the character that he needed for this purpose. He knew she was the one from her words and actions before he ever sent the angel to her. The second example is of a man named Saul, who was wreaking havoc on the church in the early days of its existence. In Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19, Luke tells us that the Lord appeared to Saul as he traveled to Damascus in order to persecute Christians. The Lord revealed to Saul that he had a use for him, and he sent him on to Damascus. There he was visited by Ananias, who revealed the way of truth to him. This episode was, in essence, the asking of the same question that we have been considering today. The question is, Saul, are you the one whom the Lord may use to preach to the Gentiles? In Acts chapter 26 and verse 19, speaking then as Paul the Apostle, we see his answer. He said, "So, King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision." Saul was indeed the one God could use, even if he didn't realize it at that very moment. And here is where the application of this question fits into our lives. No matter where one may be in his relationship with God, whether faithful Christian, marginal Christian, erring Christian, or rank unbeliever, God is asking the question, are you the one I can use for my purposes? Are you the one I can save? If we have an honest heart, like Saul, the answer is yes, and we will obey the gospel. If, as a Christian, we are living righteously and faithfully according to God's will, as young Mary did as a Jew, then the answer again is yes, and God will bless us with opportunities to serve Him. Now, if we do not have an honest heart, and if we are not living faithfully, then the answer to this question is no, and God will not be able to use us, and we will suffer the consequences for it. The answer to John's question about Jesus was found in the things that Jesus said and did. Remember, he said to John's disciples, "Go and tell him what you see and hear." Those things that Jesus was doing proved that he was the Messiah. The prophecies of the Old Testament had said that Messiah will come and he will do these particular things. And Jesus, of course, was doing them. That was the proof that answered the question that John's disciples asked on that day. The same thing is true of us today, wherever we are in our relationship to God. Our words and our actions prove who we really are. Our words and our actions answer if we are the one the Lord may use in His kingdom. Now, certainly sometimes our words don't agree with our actions. But remember, the Lord's words and His actions were consistent with one another, and they were consistent with the Father's will. He was doing exactly what God wanted Him to do and sent Him to do. The same should be true in our lives today. What we say and what we do should be consistent with one another, and they should be consistent with God, what God requires of us as His people. So the question today, as we think about what we've been studying, are you the one today? If you are, show it by your obedience to God's will. Receive from Him the blessing of salvation and service in His kingdom. If you are the one, you need to obey the Lord and do His will, and you will have eternal life. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.